back, everybody, to another episode of the podcast to be named later. I am Noah Hiles. He is
Alex Stump.
And Alex, everyone's hurt.
Well, I mean, I'm not yet.
No? Well, I mean, you should not have said that because you're just a rather fragile person.
You know, my UCL's been acting up ever since I said that.
Yeah. You know, you and pretty much everyone else who's been around a baseball this year. It is the year that has been very generous to injuries. If you haven't heard, pitchers are being injured at an alarmingly high rate. There was a stat tweeted out. Do you want to pull up who tweeted that out?
Yeah. Yeah.
I sent it. It went pretty viral on Twitter earlier in the week. I think it was on Monday. It was tweeted out. And
Found it. It's from Alden Gonzalez.
Alden Gonzalez tweeted it.
Who said that there have been 56 pitchers on the IL already this season. And actually, that number's increased because that didn't take Joe Musgrove into account.
Correct.
So we're getting closer and closer to 60. But just take those first 18 days of the season.
Yes.
56 through the first 18 days. In 2019, 24 pitchers were placed on the injured list. In 2018, 19 pitchers were on the injured list. And those are for non-COVID injuries.
Yes.
So it's an epidemic.
Yeah, and you're seeing it. I mean, this is more than double this number. And with Musgrove making it 57, and there's probably even more that we haven't seen. And it makes you kind of wonder what the heck's going on. But at the same time, it makes sense because these guys were all rushed back into action and they're trying to reach midseason form without really being properly stretched out.
Yeah, I mean, this is not that big a surprise because they went through the whole offseason and then they did spring training and then they had to stop. And while, you know, the Pirates in particular, you know, they wanted to make sure that their pitchers kept throwing throughout this entire time. They never wanted them to actually stop. It's better to go at a crawl than it is to stop. It's not the same. Like Trevor Williams, you know, in the past has talked about, you know, I would get, you know, my hips adjusted. I would get, you know, a massage, and I can't do stuff like that in between times that I threw. Like, let's not even take into consideration that these aren't competitive pitches that I'm throwing right now. I don't have my routine going through. I don't have the access to the same facilities that I do. I don't have the same access to other amenities. It's completely different. And with that short ramp-up time, we're seeing what's happening right now. Like, look, let's just say, for example, if everyone was theoretically healthy coming into this season, the Pirates are down Jameson Taillon, Chris Archer, Joe Musgrove, and Mitch Keller. That is quite possibly their top four of the rotation.
That is their top four.
The only other person is Trevor Williams.
Yeah. Yes.
And Trevor would probably be ahead of, like, Mitch, but that'd be about it out of the...
Yeah.
I mean, it is bad right now.
Yeah, and Trevor actually talked about this
earlier
in the week. He talked about this on Tuesday during the media briefing, and he said, basically, this is what happens when you have a quick startup time like this. Let's hear what he had to say.
Pitching is an inherent risk. Your body's not supposed to do certain movements. Some people are lucky that they're not injury prone. Some people it's genetics. I'm doing everything that I can to stay as healthy as possible. But sometimes shit happens, and there in an unfortunate circumstance with our guy with Birdie going down, your heart breaks for him. And we knew coming in that this was going to be a year of adversity. Like I said, ramping up and then getting shut down and ramping up again in an environment where you're not used to ramping up some more for what, like in the Cardinals' sake, like for what, for four starts, five starts, it's hard to look short term without looking at the long-term effects of what a season like this can do. I imagine we're going to see a spike in injuries this year and the following year, especially for inning climbs. I mean, it's going to be hard to see any guys going 180 plus innings next year after an abbreviated season like this. But then again, that's questions for the future. And when we'll see that when we get there. Right now, I've got to focus on pitching against the Reds on Thursday and going from there and preparing to the best of my abilities and making sure my body's right.
And it makes sense. I mean, the thing that stuck out to me from what we just played there more than anything was the human body's meant to do certain things, but the motion of throwing a ball is so unnatural. I this was pointed out to me when I was actually working in minor league baseball. I used to be the game host for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, the short season single A team, for the Cleveland Indians.
I was gonna say which affiliate?
Yes. So when I was there, the half season of the half season team that was there, they had a ambidextrous pitcher. He did not make it to the major leagues, but he threw righty and lefty. And I remember I was talking to his dad and, like, asking him, I'm like, what's the rest process like? Like, can he just go righty one day and lefty one another day? And he's like, you don't really recognize how taxing throwing a baseball is on the rest of your body until you're doing it with both arms. Because when you're throwing, you're using your back muscles, you're using your legs, you're using your obliques, you know, your sides and everything. Like Trevor said, he gets his hips adjusted. But your body's conditioned to adjust to one arm doing that. When it's taking double, it's even more taxing. And that's where he kind of introduced the concept of throwing is not a natural motion. That's why so few of us can throw as hard as these guys in the major leagues do. And then when you consider that they're snapping their wrists for breaking balls and they're holding it with different grips, some of them have different release points, and some of them are going with a 3/4 or maybe a submarine or a sidearm or something like that. It's all different, and it's all – the body's not meant to handle it. And you could be that person that says, well – I remember the days when someone would throw 150 innings and, or 150 pitches and go 9 innings every day. It's like, well, they weren't throwing as hard as they were as hard as they are now, and they're not throwing as nasty as they are now. Maybe there are outliers. Nolan Ryan definitely brought the heat. But the average pitcher back then wasn't lighting up the radar gun like, I don't know, someone average, like Chad Kuhl or somebody is now.
Yeah, I mean, back then, people were throwing 78-mile-per-hour heat to 140-pound shortstops. It's not the same game
anymore.
It just flat out isn't. Something else. First of all, I'm just going to plug Jeff Passan's terrific book, The Arm, which goes into a lot of this. That Trevor's talked about, that other people have talked about, just about, like, what happens to arms in general, especially Tommy John surgery. But going back to a point that you said, like, you'd be surprised. I think a lot of people who never really played or coached would be surprised how many arm injuries are because of something that's going wrong with the lower body.
No, yeah.
Yeah, either the stride or something in the delivery is wrong, and that puts the extra pressure on
your
shoulder or
on
your
elbow. Yeah, you're overcompensating. It's no different than if you're a basketball player, and late in the game, it's harder to shoot a jump shot in basketball because your legs are tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to use your legs to push off on a jump shot, and now you see guys, they're using fadeaways because that's more arm. And it's no different where if you have a leg problem, you're going to overcompensate and you're going to try to throw it with too much arm, and that's when you get the elbow issues. That's when you start messing up some ligaments and everything, and that's when it can get bad. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah, and in the Pirates case, I mean, you know, there are a lot of – it was a long process off, and while – you know, the Pirates made sure, like, hey, you know, send us a video of you throwing. We want to see everything that you got going on right now. Upper body, lower body, we want to see all that. It just takes something small, something that might not even be, you know, able to be seen through video, for something like this to happen. This season basically was asking for a bunch of pitcher injuries. And Trevor has said, you know, a couple times now, like, guys, I don't think this is going to be limited to 2020 either, because these are guys who aren't going to throw a whole lot of innings, and now next year it's going to be like, okay, you got to throw 180, 120.
And it's on it's on a different schedule. You know, you can't just having this quick startup would require probably a little bit extra rest, where that's not going to happen now. I mean, you're going to get the normal rest time that you would get for a normal season, but you're putting in all this work in such a short time period. I mean, there's going to be double headers. As more games get canceled, you're going to see more crazy things happening. And the Pirates are doing their best to limit use. But what happened with Derek Holland last weekend, it's not going to be the last time that happens. Where, look, man, we got two double headers next week. You're going to have to go 100 plus. Stuff like that. And that's going to lead to problems. And yeah, he mentioned that in the clip we just played. And it's a very good point that this is going to be something that the Pirates need to be cognizant of and they need to be cautious about, because, I mean, you look now, Kyle Crick, he's throwing again, but he's still on the IL. Feliz, out for the season. Nick Birdie, out for the season.
Clay Holmes, all but officially out for the season.
Yeah, and we don't really know anything much about – do we know anything more about Mitch Keller?
Mitch is going to throw catch in a couple days.
Okay.
Which, I mean, let's just be real here with, like, a timeline here. If he's going to throw catch – in 3 to 4 days now, whenever this airs, and he's going to need, at the bare minimum, one bullpen, probably two, at least. Like, we're talking, you know, a couple turns through the rotation that he missed. Mm-hmm. You know, best case scenario. I mean, it could be very well he doesn't pitch till September.
Yeah. So, with that being said, what the heck are they going to do with the starting rotation? They don't have a lot of options right now. As Alex eloquently put it, their top four starting pitchers are pretty much out right now, or four of their top five coming into the year. So, is it time to break up the piggyback gang? We discuss that when we come back. Segment two of the show, Alex. The Pirates have a starting pitching problem. I feel
really?
Like we've said that many times throughout our podcast tenure together, but it's a different problem now. They just don't have anybody. You look around right now, and as the rotation is currently structured, they have four guys who can start games. Right?
At the moment, more or less.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Trevor Williams, and there's
Derek Holland.
Those two guys are actually starters. Yeah.
Designed to go 6-7 innings. Ideally more.
After that, we have a lot of guys who just don't seem stretched out, you know, to full starter thing. I mean, Chad Kuhl seems to be the furthest along. We've seen him go, like, out for a fourth inning a couple times. Like, that seems to be, like, a good floor for him. Maybe they can push him to a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
JT Brubaker seems to be in that 3-4 inning range. Stephen Brault seems to be at about 3 innings. It kind of raises the question, though, and people can read this now on the site. Is it time to maybe break up the piggyback of Chad Kuhl and Stephen Brault?
I mean, I don't think you have a choice. You can't. The piggyback works. I'm a huge fan of that idea, and it's been their most consistent and successful start.
Yeah.
Out of anybody in the rotation. It works when there's an extended roster is the best time to do it, when there's more people. That way you're not burning multiple arms early on. And it also works when you're not just strapped for people. And you can't be wasting guys who are capable of, if they're each going to go 2-3 innings, you need to delegate those innings accordingly. You can't just be wasting them all in one game. Unless if you were going to look at one game where, A, you're going to be punting and just be like, hey, Del Pozo, you're back. You're going 9. You could do that. I wouldn't recommend that. That would be tough to watch. Do you think Miguel Del Pozo could record 27 outs in a baseball game?
Could?
Yes.
No. No, I do not think that he could.
Yeah, like, I think the game would just go on forever.
Yes.
like,
I mean,
he would eventually just get hurt.
That's not even, you know, a knock on Miguel Del Pozo. I don't think any relief pitcher can record 27 outs, unless, you know, it's somebody who just went into the bullpen and was a starter and stuff like that. But, yeah, DePozo especially cannot.
Yeah, that's fair. Or you just have a bullpen game, but they would be kind of doing that anyway with this piggybacking stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you have to just start Stephen Brault and say, look, we need four from you now. You have to start Chad Kuhl and say, look, we need five from you now. JT, you got to ask everybody to go a little bit longer than they're comfortable going, because the bullpen's going to be getting used a lot.
I'm going to disagree with that because, I mean, the first segment was the, you know, here's everyone.
Everyone's arms falling off.
Yes, so I do not need Chad Kuhl's arm to fall off again. But I think breaking up the piggyback, the complaint with the piggyback more than anything seems to be that you are so penciled in to how the game is going to go in this scenario. And, okay, Stephen Brault was only stretched out to go three innings, that start that he had in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I don't care. Nobody cares, really, that he had a perfect game going. It was just tough. He's not going to go out there for a fourth inning. That's just how it is. But it also forces Chad Kuhl to prepare differently. You know, how he prepares in his game. And quite frankly, it just takes two spots from the pitching staff into one role. And yeah, maybe those two guys can combine and they could give you seven or so innings. But what if they don't? What happens whenever Chad Kuhl has, you know, the finger laceration or the cuticle or whatever the actual terminology was, and he's pulled out and you have to go to the bullpen anyway? What happens if Stephen Brault just absolutely gets rocked, you know, in those first couple innings, and now you're sending Chad Kuhl out there, and his outing is going to be more or less wasted? And I think that is the big thing right now. Here are two guys who can go at least three or four innings in a start, you know, get through that lineup once, one and a half times. You kind of have to go with that right now with the way the rest of the rotation and bullpen is set up. You can't have two guys be put together into maybe getting seven whenever you don't know where you're going to get the outs the next day.
Alternative point. Do you think they could just make a piggyback schedule for everyone?
I don't think you can. I think this is going to sound like I'm picking on a guy like Brandon Waddell, and it's kind of because I am picking on a guy like Brandon Waddell. Because he was at home a week ago. And then he was promoted to the major league roster more or less than we just need innings. And, you know, you're going to need that guy if you do, you know, really elaborate piggybacks or, you know, scheduling out how your relievers are going to go. You're going to just need that guy if, you know, stuff just hit the fan, man. You're going out there. Good luck. Sorry, I don't care how many runs you give up in this game. You've got to close it out for us. And I don't think that's an effective use of a roster spot either. Because at that point, you're basically playing with a 28-man roster. One of them is, you know, two guys are sharing one in their rotation spot, and then someone else is basically there to just take the grunt of everything else. That's not, I think, effective roster construction.
Speaking of roster construction, the Pirates have made some moves, adding a few arms since their last day of competition. They add Henderson Alvarez. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday they add Nick Terpeno.
You can totally tell you're not reading off that name right now.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to read his name just because I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them are going to be going to Altoona.
Yeah. So how early do you think, what do you know about these guys, Alex, and how early can we expect to see them?
I mean, Henderson Alvarez, he threw a no-hitter back in 2013, I think he was.
You know who also did?
Who?
Jonathan Sanchez.
That's right.
Yep. Your buddy.
Jonathan Sanchez, who's now made it in two straight episodes, I think.
Oh, we're going to see how long we can keep that streak going.
That is a batting streak worth keeping going.
Yeah.
More
wins? Or higher number, Pirates wins, Jonathan Sanchez references on this podcast.
With you, I'm going to go with Jonathan Sanchez.
Yeah, don't ever count me out, baby.
Yeah, but he was an all-star in 2014, but then a lot of shoulder problems. And he's barely pitched in the majors since then. He got a little look at AAA last year, didn't exactly look good. He was apparently hitting like 97, 98, though, in this independent league. I don't know exactly what the Pirates are getting here, but more or less here's a guy who, if he can truly hit, you know, upper 90s with his fastball, you know, he had a decent breaking pitch back in the day, maybe they've got a relief pitcher. I don't really expect that much from him, though. It's a complete lottery pick that they're only going with because of how many pitcher injuries that they have right now. It might not be a horrible, you know, lottery, you know, pick, but that's just all it is. As for the guy they got from the Yankees, low 90s, mixes in a curveball. I don't know. I don't know what exactly to say. He's been a starter pretty much his whole career. So maybe the Pirates are looking at this guy as still a starter option right now. Just, you know, as like extreme insurance policy. Because Ben Cherington has made a point that he really doesn't want to call up, you know, a lot of starting pitchers into camp. Because the people that they want to put in the camp are people that they would feel confident, you know, actually using. You know, going forward.
How many more people are there? Or how many of those people are still available, though?
There aren't a whole lot. That's why they're looking at this guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is
because
like,
they don't want
to start calling them up. Sometimes you just need people to get involved.
I think that's the worst case scenario, though. Because
how far away are we from worst case scenario, Alex?
They're not quite like Miami Marlins, where it's like, hey, we've got to start someone from A ball.
Let's get a speed skater and an A ball guy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But
I mean,
like,
we did have people pitching an A-ball last year on the mound. We did see that with Mears. He was pitching an A-ball last season, and he pitched this past weekend in the major leagues.
Yeah, there is a big difference, though, between a relief pitcher and a starting pitcher who pitched, you know, most of last year in A-ball and a relief pitcher. Like, Mears' fastball is good enough to be major league right now.
No, yeah, you're right. He was hitting 97.
Yeah, it's just, you know, getting the control and getting better, you know, consistency with the breaking
stuff. I was just, you know, giving you that good podcast banter, that old-fashioned back and forth.
But
just a couple of buddies
because
each other. All right, make your point.
The point, I hear a lot of people say, like, why don't you bring up the kids? And it's a fair question. The big thing is, though, like someone like Cody Bolton, who is one of the better starting pitcher prospects in the system, one of only a handful of starting pitcher prospects in the system that I really look at, and is like, that is a major league starter. Maybe not an ace, but that's a guy that, you know, I could see being in almost everyone's major league rotation. Why isn't he getting called up? Well, he's not quite ready yet. And looking past, you know, things like consistency and, you know, confidence and stuff like that, he would have to be added to the roster. You're eating into service time. You're eating into years of control. You're eating into, most importantly, option years that you have with the guy. There's a lot of stuff like that that really isn't being taken into consideration by a lot of people, but the front office is right now.
They've got some tough decisions to make.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? At some point this year, they're probably going to have to push, comes to shove, get someone like Cody Bolton up to the majors. Like, hey, kid, we got to push right now. It's time for you to show up.
We'll see what they do. That's going to wrap up today's show. When we come back, our next show, we will be previewing Major League Baseball once again. It's been a long 3 days, Alex. We've learned a lot about each other. We've talked about report cards, Jonathan Sanchez, multiple times.
Yep.
And
do you get a nickel every time you say his name?
I should. That's actually in my contract.
Okay.
It was build the podcast network, help Alex write about the Pirates, and highlight Jonathan Sanchez's distinguished career here on the North Shore.
What an interesting performance, you know, boost.
Yeah. I come with some weird demands.
Okay.
All right. Be sure to hit that subscribe to all the automatic download to DK Sports Radio. We work hard to give you the best content we possibly can. I think it's pretty damn good. Alex has other thoughts. We're not going to even ask him about those. Just kidding. He loves it too. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms, and be sure to stay tuned for our episode, which will be coming out tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.